Well, good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church Sun City West. As you are at home just enjoying yourself, you have probably already been through some Bible study, and this morning we're going to look forward to a time of worship and celebration and a message concluding our six-week sermon series on the sayings of Jesus from the cross. It's been a powerful series, and during this time as we begin Holy Week, this Palm Sunday, it is a time of reflection, and I hope and pray that not only today, but through this week, that you'll be mindful of what Christ has done for us. Let's pray together, and then we will continue in our time of worship and celebration right there at home. Sing along with us. It's going to be a great time. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come today, and I pray that, God, you would inspire, encourage us. I pray that at the same time, we will be able to take the worship, the message from your word, and Father, turn that into encouragement and inspiration for our neighbors as we try to meet their needs during this very difficult time. And God, we pray for our nation. We pray for people all over the world that have the coronavirus. Father, there are many dying. There are many sick. And yet, at the same time, you have protected many because they have followed, Father, instructions that are just very important. And I just ask for your divine wisdom, your encouragement, and for you to put your loving arms around this community, around this church, and Father, people all over the world, to encourage them in their suffering, in their grief, and Father, any way we possibly can, as you encourage and strengthen us, I pray, God, that we would reach out, encourage someone else. In the name of Jesus, because the scripture says you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so, Father, this hasn't caught you by surprise. You are the same, and you are the same encourager that will walk with us. And I thank you for a church family that is caring, that loves each other, calling each other all through the week. And I pray you'll bless them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's worship together.
In Psalm 18:49, we read, "I will sing about your name." Those of you who are at home can sing along with us. The lyrics to the hymns will be on the screen. Join us.
I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence. hands of the King. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill, as a shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of His cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again, the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is on. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna forevermore.
Keith, thank you so much. What a dynamic song. And we anticipate and look forward to that new Jerusalem. And there's only one way that that could take place, and that's because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Two verses I want to read for you this morning. And as we go through those verses, it gives us understanding of the last two sayings of Jesus from the cross. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, the scripture says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, the scripture says, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Would you join with me in a time of prayer? Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have, even virtually, by video, being in the homes of our members and our friends, not only here in Sun City West, but Father, around the country. And it is a delight to be able to lift up our voices in song. Father, to hear specials that just touch our heart. And we can do that with a sense of unity, even though we are not in one place at one time. Father, we know that there was one place at one time where everything changed. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, when he suffered the physical and the spiritual agonies and the battles that took place, Father, there's nothing in our minds that could really comprehend that. But on that day, the entire world changed. I pray that you'll give us insight today in the words that our Lord spoke at the end of his time on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we come again, our very last time, to Calvary. Calvary, where God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Calvary, where God commendeth his own love toward us. Calvary, where Christ bore all of our sins upon his own body. Calvary, where he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, where the chastisement of our place was laid upon him, and where by his stripes we are healed. Calvary, where echoes the cry, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." It was all about Calvary. In the last two messages, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then, "I thirst." In those two phrases, those two words, what we find is that he was portraying the sorrow and suffering physically and spiritually. Physically, because of everything that had happened to his body. The idea of "I thirst." And then, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The spiritual battle that took place that we are not privy to, but Christ defeated sin and Satan at that time on the cross. Because he took on our sin, the Father had to turn his back. But now we hear a completely different cry. It's a cry of triumph, a cry of victory, a cry of jubilation. Jesus says, "It is finished." The victim has become the victor. The Savior's sufferings are over. His work on earth is done. And guess what? The gates of heaven are open wide for everyone to come who would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For a few moments, let's take a look at Christ's cry of triumph. When he said, "It is finished," he meant that all of the prophecies connected with his life and death have been fulfilled. Now you think about that. You see, God is true to his word. If he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen, and it will happen in his time frame. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, his birth was prophesied. It was prophesied that he would be born of a woman who was a virgin. He was going to be a descendant of David. He would be named before he was born, that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he would escape and go to Egypt. All of those details, all of those prophecies, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, became a reality at his birth. The prophecies also said that he would help the poor and the needy, that he would have a forerunner, who we know as John the Baptist, that he would cause the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. All of this happened in Jesus' ministry. It was prophesied that he would be despised and rejected of men, that he would be hated without cause. He would be betrayed by his friends, forsaken by his disciples, led to the slaughter. He would be numbered among the transgressors, and that even the soldiers would gamble for his garments. All of those details were prophesied in the Old Testament, that this is what would happen when the Messiah would come. And so when he cries out, "It is finished," we know all of this has come to pass. The prophecies for the deliverer, the Messiah, have been fulfilled. It is finished. When he said, "It is finished," he also meant that his sufferings were over. He's called the man of sorrows. No man ever, ever had a more fitting title. He suffered at the hands of men, of Satan, and even God his Father. Scripture says that God bruised him and forsook him on the cross because he bore our sins. It's not anything that he had done. He was sinless, perfect. But it was because of our sins. His friends and his enemies inflicted pain and suffering throughout his ministry. It was not just the cross that he suffered all through his life. ridicule, abused. I have a painting. It's a beautiful little painting. It's a picture of Jesus in the carpenter shop. And he's looking out a window, and he has his arms stretched. And the way the sun rays come through on the back wall, what you see is a cross. You see the shadow of the cross. That was his whole life. He lived under the shadow of the cross. Everything that he did, every miracle, every time he taught, he mixed with his disciples. Every mile that he traveled, everything that he did, the shadow of the cross was always following him. Can you imagine going about doing all the good deeds, knowing that one day these same people are going to put you upon the cross and that you're going to take on the sins of all humanity, everybody in the past, those in the present, all of those into the future. And it's coming. And it's not just the physical suffering of the cross itself, but the spiritual battle that was beyond anything we could even imagine. Everywhere he went, the cross, the shadow of the cross was looming before. He knew it. All the things we've talked about over the previous 5 weeks, he understood that. He understood this is what was coming. These are the kinds of things that are going to unfold. But now, as he says, it is finished. His suffering is over, both physically and spiritually. It's done. Also, when he said it is finished, he meant that his work of redemption was accomplished. Christ had finished his work on the cross. God's redemptive plan now was set in motion. No one will ever be able to add anything in order to be saved. It is salvation in Christ alone. He said, it's finished. It's complete. It's done. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus says, it is finished. It's done. I have bore the sins of all humanity. Redemption is complete. Revelation 5, 9 says, you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's what Jesus did for us. He was slain and he redeemed us. Jesus said, look to me, all the nations of the world, look to me, and I will give you everlasting life. The redemption plan was in place. You see, Jesus was the one who came to seek and save those who were lost. And he's taken our sins away through the shedding of his precious blood. At the end of a revival, a young man came and asked the English evangelist and said, how can I be saved? What can I do to be saved? The evangelist said, you're too late. You can't do anything. But then he said, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior because he's already provided that opportunity for you. I think the songwriter had it right. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. It's all that I can do. See, the only thing we can do is give ourselves to Jesus. Give up ownership and let him be our Savior and to be our Lord. Christ's cry of triumph, it is finished, is our only hope of triumph over the evil one. The one who controls this world that we live in. And Jesus has provided that way. It is finished, he said. As we turn to the last saying, Christ's cry of soul committal, Luke 23, 46 says, into your hands I commit my spirit. What we see right here is a wonderful change. 6 hours, Jesus hung on the cross at Calvary. 3 hours, he suffered at the hands of Satan and men. And then 3 hours, he suffered from the separation from God the Father. But now, you see, he says, "Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit." All of a sudden, they are back together in communion. You see, it's been paid. Price has been paid. What a wonderful change. It's like going from a dump to a palace, from darkness to life, from hell to heaven. It is such a radical change. The appointed work for Jesus to accomplish has been completed. It's been done. And so he voluntarily commits his spirit back to the Father. Never again will men be able to torture him. Never again will he ever be at the mercy of wicked sinners. Never again will he suffer the shame of things that he did not do. And so he commits himself to God. God, the loving Father, will look after him from now on. In 3 days, he will rise from the dead, the living Savior, and he will be exalted above all, a name that is above every name. What a change, a wonderful change. Here also we see Jesus setting a good example for us. As Christ yielded himself to God in the hour of death, so he yielded himself all through his life to what the Father wanted him to do. As a child, at age 12, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." In his teaching ministry, he said, "My work is to do the will of him who sent me." In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Throughout his entire public ministry, it was not about him, it was about the will of the Father. And so Christ, even at the time of death, he committed his self-keeping into the hands of the Father, safe and sound forever. And that's an example for us, I think. It might be time for each one of us to look into the mirror and really reflect on how much of our life is controlled by us and our decisions versus how much of our life is committed to the will of the Father, what he desires for us to do. We must learn to commit ourselves to the safekeeping of the Father. In this world, as we strive to navigate through all the difficulties, and in the world to come, everlasting, to let him take care of us. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit your ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." We've got to commit ourselves to him. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus did that all his life and in his time of death. And that's what we ought to do. It's a challenge for us, an example, a model for us to live our lives according to the will of the Father and not according to our will. We should say with Paul, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's what we ought to have. Not only as a theme verse in our head, but it should take over our heart and every action that we have. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not in my thinking, my wondering, my opinions. What I think should be done, traditions that I hold on to. No. No, we should live as Christ lives in us, by faith, because he loved us and he gave himself for us. Therefore, we should submit to his will. Not only do we see Jesus setting an example for us with these words, "I commit myself to you," But we see Christ here making a final offering for sin. In the Old Testament days, thousands of priests went through the endless ceremonies. Sacrificial animals were brought to the temple. They were slain. Their blood was poured into containers, into a cup. And then the priests would go into the Holy of Holies with this blood to make atonement for the nation of Israel. All of this, through all of the centuries, was pointing toward one thing, and that was the coming of the Lamb of God. You see, the slain lamb was a picture of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. The blood that was shed was a picture of the precious blood of Christ, which is shed for our sins. So all through those years, the Israelites would go through this process on the Day of Atonement. And every single aspect was pointing toward that one and only time that the Lamb of God would be slain on the cross at Calvary. What's interesting is that now Jesus goes back to the Father and he takes his own blood with him. He has it because he's going to offer it. He's going to offer it for the sins of humanity. Father, men are lost. Women are lost. Children are lost. It's written in your word that sin must be punished, that a price for iniquity must be paid. And so, Father, with my blood, I've come to pay the redemption price for every single person who would accept it. Is that not a powerful image in your mind and heart? That it was Jesus that took that special, precious blood. And the Father, when he looked upon the rich royal blood of his only begotten Son, which was poured out on Calvary's mount, he accepted it as the complete price for man's redemption, paid in full because of what my Son has done. And my Son did that for every single one of you. He went through everything to give you the opportunity to have life everlasting. Again, the hymn writer hit it. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. It's not our good works. It's not the smiles that we have. It's not keeping in contact with people. Not about church attendance, baptisms. Those are all very important things. But let me tell you, it focuses upon only the mercy and the grace that Jesus gives because of what he did on Calvary. Here we find the safest place for our souls. Jesus said, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." Listen, there is the safest place for our souls, in the hands of God, the Creator. I'm asking you to put your soul there today. He will keep it safe forever. John 10:29 says, "My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Once you give your life to Christ, you are saved for eternity. You're in the safest place that you can be. Jesus understood that when he committed himself, his spirit, to the Father, the safest place. That's what he wants us to do as well. You might feel at times like you're maybe a weak Christian, or you're not fulfilling what you think as a believer you ought to do. But let me tell you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have, and you are just as safe as if you had been in heaven for 1,000 years. You're in the safe place. And in the safe place, he wants you to be obedient to him. He wants you to follow his will as his Son did. And so today I challenge you with these seven sayings from the cross, I challenge you as a believer in Christ to live the way Christ wants us to live, the reason he died for us. And during this time of pandemic, and there's so many needs around the world, and we'll have more here. This is the time that we seek God's will, and how can we help? How can we touch these souls, encourage them emotionally and physically, and be able to share what Christ has done to help them to heal spiritually? There are some of you out there watching today that you might not be a believer. Is Christ really your Savior? Are you trusting Him for salvation, or you just acknowledge that He exists and He's a good guy, but you haven't trusted Him with your heart? Listen, don't trust in anything else. Don't trust in your goodness, your works, your gifts, your church membership, anything like that. Trust only in Jesus. The Bible tells us, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And so this morning, I'm asking you, if you've never given your life to Christ, that you would choose to do that today, because this is what Christ has done. He said, it is finished. And Lord, I'm committing myself to you. Mission accomplished. But for you, has the mission really been accomplished? And that's only something you and God can deal with. But Christ has provided the way. I encourage you to bow your head and accept Christ right now. Believer, I'm encouraging you to take that step of faith, follow Jesus' example, and live fully in accordance to His will and not yours. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had this morning to dive into your word, to get the sense of understanding of each of these seven sayings on the cross that Jesus spoke. Father, what it was all about. And I pray for those listening today or watching today, if you haven't given your life to Christ, that today you would choose to just say a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I trust you completely. I know I'm a sinner. I know you took my sins upon the cross at Calvary, and you were raised up on the third day for my justification. And so right now, I ask you to come into my heart. I genuinely ask you to save me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would like any more information in regard to wanting to know more about Christ or the church, please just contact us at the church office. You'll have our numbers on the website. My email address is there. But let us know, and we'll help every way we can. Be safe this week. Holy Week is coming up. We have some very special things that are going to be happening during Holy Week. And I pray that you will watch for your email blast and or call the church office. We'll get you that information. It'll be on the website as well. But let me tell you, it's going to be a very special week, even though we can't gather together. And I hope that you will take the opportunity and the time to invest in what you'll be reading and what you'll be seeing. And then we look forward to Sunday, Easter Sunday. It's going to be a time of celebration. Have a great week.